Welcome to episode 149 of the FASD Success Show. Tis I, your host, Jeff Noble. I'm your wizardly guide to the ever-twisting, sometimes mysterious world of FASD caregiving. Whether you're just receiving your Hogwarts letter into the realm of FASD, wondering if your guide is more Dumbledore or Sirius Black, or you've been dueling with Dementors in the name of caregiving for years, I'm over the moon, dudes, that you've joined us. Your presence here is more precious than a vault of galleons at Gringotts. Our goal at the FASD Success Show is straight up to light the way to FASD victory. How do we do that? We do that by rallying the smartest and toughest folk who's trekked through the FASD wilderness. You know, they've geared up to share the lowdown on what works, what doesn't, and the real talk on rolling with the punches. This is about getting the inside scoop from those who know the drill, guiding us through the FASD maze with real stories and some solid advice. So whether you're sipping a quiet cup of coffee in a rare moment of calm, or you're in the thick of bedtime battles and morning meltdowns, I'm here to say loud and clear, you're not riding this roller coaster alone. We're all in this together, sharing the highs, the lows, and every loop-de-loop in between, my dudes. And today's episode, folks, it's bittersweet. It's bittersweet because we're here to remember and celebrate the life of one of the best to ever do it, Alex Duthy. Alex's knack for engaging people and bringing humor to heavy situations made him a big pillar in our free FASD group. Believed in the power of laughter to provide a momentary reprieve from the hardships that is raising individuals with FASD. Alex didn't just make an impact in our group. He left his mark on FASD groups around the world. Doing this, I've read countless posts from our members about the profound impact he had on their lives. From wee chuckles to offering hope and humor through private messages, Alex was a beacon of light, man. Well, a lot of us were aware that Alex was battling cancer. You know, the news of his passing still hit hard. With his big personality and his positive outlook, you know, many of us held on to hope that he would pull through. But he didn't, and Alex passed away on February 26th in Aberdeen, Scotland, and he was surrounded by family and friends. The impact of his loss has sent literal ripples through the entire community, and not just within our group. This was not a scheduled podcast, but nonetheless, an important one to do, and I am glad I did it. And so today's episode, I'm going to replay an interview I did with him and from a previous episode. But this time, at the end of the interview, we're going to look through a different lens and we're going to go over the life lessons we could take away from Alex, allowing our relationship with him to stay with us, making us better people. That's the goal. Sometimes when you love big, you lose big. And when you lose big, we have to make sure that we are honoring the person's memory, but also taking that part of them that made them so good to make us just that much better moving forward. If you don't know Alex, okay, if you don't know Alex, here's a snapshot. Alex was a devoted husband, a father, and a foster parent who, along with his wife, Sylvia, they opened their hearts and their home to two boys with FASD. Living in Scotland, my man, he worked as a taxi driver for over 40 years and a job that connected with people from all walks of life. And he sparked conversations about FASD. Alex became an advocate, not just in our group, but globally, using his humor and empathy to support and educate others. You know, his approach to caregiving is filled with love and laugh and a bit of mischief. It's left a lasting legacy in the FASD community. You know, Alex was my first moderator, and he dove headfirst into the gig with our group. It was a fresh role for both of us. We both didn't have no idea what we were doing. But he didn't just dip his toes in, like, he cannonballed, bringing his whole heart to the table. That's what I love about him. He wore his heart on his sleeve. He was always buzzing in our moderator chat, too. He was pointing out folks who would need an extra nudge of kindness or understanding. He was way more than the moderator. He was a heavy hitter in my corner. He was a champion of mine. But he was also a superhero to a bunch of us in the community. His vibe was all about backing people up, backing each other up, wrapped in that trademark humor and warmth that made our space feel like home. You know, I say this often, my picture is the one on the group, but it's Alex's group. And he created that excellent vibe, him and the other moderators, okay, because they are badass as well. And, you know, big shout out to Lori and Debbie and Nikki, Heather, the rest of the moderators who've gone to work to do some cool things for us as a community. So what I wanted to do, though, if you don't know Alex, like if you were new to the group or, you know, you're not in our group, I'm just going to play a couple of clips of what some funny things that my moderators thought or, you know, their memories of him.
So my favorite memes that Alex would post were always about Sylvia. They were usually on the yellow background with the laughing their head off emoji. And they would be about silly things like, I accidentally handed Sylvia a glue stick instead of her lipstick and she's still not talking to me. Or I wanted to make sure that Sylvia woke up with a smile on her face in the morning and I'm not allowed to have Sharpies anymore. Or it was the dessert table and Sylvia asked him if he wasn't embarrassed that he'd been back 4 times and people were looking at him. And he said, no, I just tell them it's for you. I always commented on those memes that he'd better be watching or sleeping with one eye open.
My impressions of Alex, he gave so much to our community. He really understood on such a deep level the life of a caregiver for somebody on the spectrum. And he would post these cute, funny, and memes that showed everybody that he did understand that the job is hard and people don't always understand it. And so he gave us this sense of connection and understanding and support. Those are some of my favorite things about Alex. Also, he liked to share pictures of his pup, Molly, and he would ask everybody in the group to share some pictures of their fur babies because they are some of the most joyful beings in our lives, and he always encouraged that. And so that was also something I really enjoyed about Alex.
My name is Nikki, and my favorite wee chuckle that Alex left was this story about the bathroom. He had taken his son into the bathroom and his wife asked him to go and make sure that he went into the men's stall. So he walked in and there were 2 stalls, one was closed and one was open, and he thought he would be hilarious because it's Alex. And he went ahead and wet his hands and splashed over the closed stall. And out of the open stall comes his son. The other gentleman came out of the closed stall and he explained to him what happened, and then he was trying to be funny and the guy thought it was hilarious. But that just strikes me so much like Alex. We're all gonna really miss him. He was so wonderful, and I hope that we can keep his spirit alive, providing each other with wee chuckles every day. Goodbye, Alex.
This is Debbie Raymond, and my favorite Alex meme was when he said that his neighbor knocked on his door at 3 a.m. and it was lucky he was already awake because he'd been playing his bagpipes. Gave me more than a wee chuckle. My son Wyatt's favorite Alex joke is, why does it appear that Frisbees get bigger the closer they get to you? And then it hit him.
These clips are pure gold. It shows Alex's knack for touching hearts and sparkling smiles. He was the real MVP of our moderator team, always on the ball, keeping an eye out, and our empathy cranked to 11. Alex was a true champion for me and so many of our crew. So if you haven't listened to this interview before, it really just goes to show who Alex is and how awesome he was. And on the other side, I want to talk about the lessons, you know, and a little bit about grief and loss as well. I have some expertise in it, having gone through some other major significant losses myself. So, but with that being said, you just want to listen to an amazing man. So if I'm ready, you're ready. Here's a replay with Alex Duthie. Let's go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here I am with Alex Duthie, all the way from Aberdeen, Scotland. Is that correct, Alex?
Almost, just outside.
Just outside. Well, I wasn't sure if there was an outside because, first of all, let the audience know, how big is Aberdeen?
Population, just over 200,000. Aberdeen is also the oil and gas capital of Europe.
Oh, right. Okay. I get it. So 200,000 hasn't always been oil and gas.
No, it was fish.
Right, and
We had the biggest fishing port in Britain.
okay, so let's get on with it because people know you. People know you. Obviously, you're a moderator in our group, and you are in other FASD groups, and you have an impact in those as well. People might not know like you, right? So, were you born in Scotland?
Aberdeen.
So, born, raised.
Aberdeen.
Have you ever lived anywhere else?
Just the village I stay in now. Aberdeen and then the village.
Okay, well, so that's the born and raised because you're a veteran. I don't like to use the word old. You're experienced. You know,
I'm old.
you're a gentleman. You're a distinguished gentleman. What's interesting is that you have two young men on the spectrum, and you know, if you listen to this podcast, you know I like to get into how not only did you get into it, did you have the boys first before you knew about FASD? What's the
Yes.
story behind that?
Okay. I'll tell you a story. We got a phone call one morning asking if we could take two boys that day because they were up in court, a children's panel, and they were going to be taken from the mother. So we said, yeah, we'll take them for 2 weeks. No problem, yeah? So when they arrived at our house, they arrived in two separate cars because they had to get a police escort out of the building and the family kicked off, yeah? Understandable, obviously. So the oldest arrived first, so I took him upstairs to show me the bedroom. And he went straight to the window and he said, oh, that's very high to jump. And I thought, oh, fire conscious, he must be fire safety, yeah? I said, well, if it's a fire, just jump. You're better having a broken leg than not being here. Anyway, his brother arrived a wee while after, and it was like deja vu. He did exactly the same. I showed him his bedroom, and he went right to the window and he says, oh, that's very high to jump. I thought, oh, these guys are really fire conscious. They're safety conscious. So I said the same to him. Anyway, the week after that, I walked past one of their bedrooms and they were playing with Lego. And the boys were 11 and 12 when they arrived with us. By talking to them and seeing how they were, we knew they were mentally younger. Yeah. Anyway, so they were playing with Lego. They built a house, but this house had windows and doors all the way around. And I said, why's your house got windows and doors all the way around? So people can escape, right? So I thought, here we go again. Anyway, cut a long story short, it wasn't nothing to do with fire. When the father beat up the mother, they were next. So they had to find a way of escaping, either through the door or through a window. But when I heard the story, it broke my heart. Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Like, did you have kids before? Alex, do you have other children?
Oh, yeah. I have
You say that, like, oh, I got a half a dozen.
I've got three from my first marriage. And Sylvia, when I got together with Sylvia, she had three as well. So when I got together with Sylvia, I took on her children as mine. Yeah. So between us, we've got six children. I'm saying children, I mean, my oldest one's like 45. Yeah. 45, 46, something like that. So yeah, we've got kids.
So you had kids, neurotypical kids, and then was it just out of your heart to take these two boys? Were you open to fostering? Was it just going
No.
to be a limited time? What happened there?
Problem was, Sylvia said one day, we've got spare bedrooms. And I said, yes. And she said, well, we can do something with this. Because I'm thinking, yeah, games room, no
That's,
problemo.
yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we sat down and spoke about foster care. So we both decided, yeah, let's go for it. Because we're both very good with kids, having six between us, yeah. But I was a Cub Scout leader. I ran Cub Scouts, yeah. And so I was good with kids around. Apparently, I had the same mental age as the Cubs. That's 8 to 10 and a half, yeah. Anyway, so we started that. But can I get back to the boys again? I said we had them for 2 weeks. The day before we were supposed to hand them back, we got a phone call from the who we foster through, asking us to hold on to them a wee bit longer. Something has came up. Anyway, that's something we now know. But that something was the carers they were going to. There was accusations they were beating the foster kids. They were actually beating them. Yeah, can you imagine handing the boys over to them after their father beat them? That's not right. Yeah.
So you heard
So
this, you
anyway.
heard what was going on, and you said,
Anyway, so we've had him just over 9 years. years later,
Nine
and I'm talking
years.
to you.
Yeah, 9 years later. What a journey. Besides starting to pick up things, okay, I see some dismaturity going on. What were you told by, the state or the county or however you guys measure that? Was there any diagnoses with the kid?
No. The youngest one was at a younger school, but he was now ringing for special needs. The older one was at a special needs school as well. We just thought, we didn't know nothing about Tweedle or we just thought they were maybe just slow at school, yeah. But they were always getting into trouble. And then the oldest one was stealing things from the house. He was telling lies. So we had a discussion with our child psychologist, and she just happened to mention that the mother admitted to drinking less with the younger one than the older one. She also said what she was drinking. She was drinking three Bacardi Breezers and half a bottle of vodka every day with the younger one. No. And then she mentioned fetal alcohol. That's right. She mentioned fetal alcohol. And Sylvia said to her, "What's fetal alcohol?" And she explained it to us. Yeah. Then, not long after that, our support worker got in touch with us and said, "Look, there's a course in a small town called Arbroath, south of Aberdeen. There's a course run by Eileen Calder, and it's FASD Scotland, if you want to attend." So my wife and I went down to this course, and we sat there, and we ticked every box, every single box we ticked. And the light bulb, it was like a light bulb come on. Yeah. And since we met Eileen, and who's a friend now, since we met Eileen, we've done four courses. Yeah. But I've also attended a seminar in Glasgow with a gentleman called Dr. Ira Chasnov.
Right.
Yeah.
So once
Yeah.
you, FASD Scotland, that is Eileen Calder's group, right?
Yes, yes,
She's
yes.
a sweetie.
Yeah.
She came and see me in all the way in Vancouver.
Okay.
I was there. There was a conference there, but I was also doing a training a couple of days before, and
Yeah,
I have
yeah.
met her, and she's done a lot of work for Scotland. So just
Yeah.
some of these light bulbs that have gone off now. So the two boys are both on the spectrum, but
Yes.
is it safe to say are they totally different?
Yes.
Can you try
Yes.
and describe, okay, so this is what I'd like you to do. If you're okay saying their names,
That's right.
are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay, so one is Liam, right?
Yes. He's the older one.
How old is he?
He's 21.
Okay, so what are some of Liam's symptoms? Like, what are some of his deficits? And then subsequently, we'll talk right next about what are some of his strengths.
Okay, we start off with a major thing I've got to say after reading everything I read in your group and other group. Liam and Sean, two things they do have in common. They would not harm a fly. They're not violent. They're gentle, they're loving, they're caring kids. Yeah. Now, let's get back to Liam. Liam, confabulation. If there was a world confabulation contest, okay, I could enter Liam and he would have a good chance of winning. Yeah, possession. If there was a world possession championship, I could enter Liam and he'd probably win.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, oh yes. Even today, Sylvia went to pick up Sean from his work, and the boss came out and handed Sylvia a knife. And she says, "What's this?" He says, "I took it off Liam." Right? Liam's denied he had it, and he took it off him, and he's denied
Right.
it.
Typical kids.
Yeah.
Now, Liam,
Yeah.
but Liam is in a semi-independent living now.
Liam is staying in a shared home with 24-hour care. Yeah. And Liam would cope to live himself. He scary. It's absolutely scary thinking if he was on his own. Yeah.
Right. But kudos to you guys for allowing him to, or realize, or just accept his living situation.
Yes. Problem we have just now is the honeymoon is over in his house. So he's starting to do things. Like he was caught in a girl's room. He was caught in the bathroom with another girl. Just certain things. He likes girls, but one of the carers is gay. And he came out and says to the carer that he was gay as well. Yeah. So we don't know where this is coming from.
Right, you're not sure if that's the confabulation or he could like both, and that's But that, again, keeping that conversation, literally one of the podcasts we just released was about sexuality, and he might not be sure where he's at, and
Yeah, exactly.
So Liam is, it sounds like the staff at Liam's home needs to set some clear boundaries with him and, remind him of the rules and not ascertain that he understands the rules always.
Well, you see, you'll understand this, Jeff, because I've heard you say it before. When Liam meets people, they can't believe he's got special needs. But what he's doing is repeating things. He's hearing. He'll sit in a conversation with adults, and he'll just sit and listen. And he'll agree with people or mention something to do with it that he's already heard. And people are thinking, nothing wrong with Liam. But Liam is actually meant, Liam's got, Liam's, I think Liam's mental age is roughly 6, 7 years old.
For 20 minutes, you have a conversation you can't tell. That's the truth. And you need to spend time with the individual to see if there's any deficits. Now, you were talking about like his strengths, and even you were saying some of his deficits, if there was a contest for it, he could win awards. Now, here's my question. The one of the strengths you said is that, he wouldn't hurt a fly and he's a loving person. What sort of things is Liam good at? Like, does he like to do? What are some of his good qualities?
Liam likes to hug people. Liam likes to hug anyone. Liam will hug strangers in the street. Yeah, that's scary. That's scary. Yeah. Liam, as I said, confabulates. He another example. The boss at Liam's work phoned his house and spoke to the manager of the house, and he told her what Liam did last week. Liam found a kind of spray paint, yeah, and one of the machines, he sprayed it black, right? By the way, the machine's borrowed. It doesn't belong to the company, right? Okay. Of course, when he called the house, he told the manager, she says, no, he didn't do it. He told us he didn't do it. And the guy goes, he did do it. And she says, well, he told us he didn't, so I believe him. Really?
So while he's in this semi-independent living, do you still find there's a gap in understanding of fetal alcohol? Do you find that
Yes.
you're,
Oh, yes.
yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I already had it in books and brochures and such stuff when he moved into the house, and I asked him to read it, but I don't think they read it. Yeah, it's as simple as that.
So, okay. So tell us about Sean. How old is Sean?
Sean is 11 months younger than his brother. He's 20.
And so he's 20 years old. And what are some of the things that Sean deals with, neurologically that?
Sean likes to help people. Yeah. Sean will be out washing the car. Sean will be doing something to the garden. I mean, for example, he made something for my Sylvia's youngest boy for his house, a bench, a working bench. Yeah. He made it for him. And he's always want to help people. Yeah. Even in his work, like Sean works Monday to Thursday. If the manager says, oh, there's someone coming in Friday, Sean will be the first to volunteer. Because he likes helping people. Yeah? Just before I spoke to you just now, he put trash can outside for the bin man tomorrow, yeah? No problem. No, oh, do I have to do that? Didn't even think twice about doing it, yeah? Sean, the problem Sean has got is he gets bored, for example. And he washed the car 2 days ago. It's the first time he's washed it this year. Yeah? If he gets into something, like he bought himself a pair of binoculars, he wanted to go looking at birds. Yeah, that didn't last long.
No, I got you. So is he going to live in the same spot? Do you have
No,
a transition plan?
he's more capable than me. What we're looking with for Sean is an apartment. We don't want him to move to Aberdeen, and we'd rather he stay in the area, this area, yeah, because he works at a supermarket there. He does the trolleys. He does trolleys Friday evening and Sunday during the day. And he enjoys his work, yeah. What we're looking at is maybe an apartment where someone will pop in every day just to make sure he's okay. Yeah?
Right.
Make sure that he's taking his tablets, make sure that he's done his washing, make sure, things like that, yeah.
So either you or Sylvie go, or you both go to the apartment to make sure he's doing okay.
No, the social worker do that. So we'll still go and see him, but social worker will check up him. Yeah, we're going to take it slower now. Yeah, we're going to. I mean, as you know about my health, I need to take things easy now. Yeah,
We're going to talk about that for sure. But there's a few things I wanted to ask. Okay, so I'm backing up a little bit. So you go FASD Scotland, you take some of these courses, the light bulb moments go off.
Yeah.
What were sort of the things you changed in maybe your parenting style once you learned about fetal alcohol?
Yeah. We understood more about it because of the courses, yeah. Things happened. We didn't blow our top. We didn't get angry. Just like just now, we don't get angry now because we know it's all to do with fetal alcohol. For example, as well, Liam. Liam lived here. He was terrible in the morning. Oh, my goodness. He was absolutely terrible to get out of his bed and to go to school. So what I do in the morning is I do stupid things. I bash my knee on the door, right? I'd trip over the carpet as I walked in. Something stupid, right? Or I'd sing a song with the wrong words. Or I'd make a moan song. Something to make him laugh, to cheer him up. And that way, it got him out of his bed easier. He'd sit and have his breakfast with a smile on his face. Yeah? Sean's no problem. He just opened his door, put on his light and say, come on, Sean, up you get. That's it. He's up. Yeah.
Yeah. So it really shows the contrast, right?
Yes.
You know, the different kids and their strengths and yes. their weaknesses. So you just learned about the disability, so you were changing your approach.
Yeah, oh, very much so. Yeah, very much so. Yeah. When you do things now, we see why they're doing it. We know why they're doing it. FASD course is fantastic. Yeah. People have to do courses to learn more about it.
Yeah, because you even did our Caregiver Kickstart course. You've probably done it a couple times now, right?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, yeah. That's brilliant. Let's not go there. Like, I could talk about your course all night.
Yeah. Well, and you know, we will down the line, but this is about you. This is about you, sir. I wanted to talk, though, because we have a group. It's facebook.com/group/FASD forever. Yes. And you're a big part of that. You are the group. Well, my mug might be on the image, but it is absolutely your group. So give us like the origin story there. How did you find me?
I was never into Facebook before. I wanted to learn more about fetal alcohol. So I Googled it and got your name and I joined the group. And I think it's over 3 years now. 3 years?
Oh my gosh.
Sorry. It's only a few weeks, sorry.
No. Oh, yeah. We'll talk about that. But it's been, is the group been around 3 or 4 years, 2018, 19, 20, 2021? 20, but I remember you would be commenting on a lot of the posts that we've had. And then I remember joining the group. And like at first, honestly, I had to delete some of your stuff, right?
Yeah, you did. Yeah. But I understand now why you did it.
Right. But also, we had great conversations. You didn't get mad. You asked why.
No,
but I'm saying some people get, will get butthurt because they get the ego, right? So, but you grew in it so much so that's why I asked you to become a moderator, because you have this knack for engaging people. You have this knack for making people laugh, and it is now, it's a part of the culture in our group because it's a serious topic.
Are we talking about we chuckle?
So we chuckles, but not only do you do we chuckles, like I was just looking at the group the other day and you put posts like, okay, you have 30 minutes to spend 5,000 in one store. What store are you going to?
Yeah.
And there's 118 comments. Do you know that you're doing that? Like, do you know that you're providing this outlet for our group members to not have to think of all the tribulations that come with it, that come with being a caregiver?
Well, as you know, Jeff, I read every post that comes on, and many of these posts make me cry, because it's heartbreaking. Some of the things you read is absolutely heartbreaking. And if I could just help to make someone forget just for 1 minute, just by giving them a smile, this made my day. Yeah.
See, right. I see that. But also, isn't there, you have to have a certain disposition if you're reading all those posts, and if it's breaking your heart, it's not good for your health. Like, have you learned a little bit to maybe distance, like empathize, but still not dwell on them?
I have no. I'm actually getting better now. It's probably maybe because of the health issues I have just now. But Yeah.
So
Oh, I suppose there
why
was.
so then why is it, because it resonates so much so that you were gone for a bit, and we'll get into that, but people were missing on you. Why do you think it resonates so much with people? Like the joke, the wee bit of a chuckle that you put
Yeah.
in. Like now it's a catchphrase. Crepes, I made a shirt about it. Like, why do you think it's caught on so well?
I think it's something people look for every day. Yeah. They look for the chuckle just to give them a wee laugh. Yeah. That's what I think. I enjoy doing it.
You so much so now people tag you in posts. Sometimes we have to even slow
Jokes.
them
Yeah.
down, right? Because they're like, hey, Alex,
Yeah.
hey, Alex, hey, Alex. Now, you're always laughing, you're smiling, even though you're reading all these posts, our group is super active. There's a lot of
Yeah.
posts, but you're also dealing with your own health issue.
Yes.
So, and it's okay if we talk about that, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So, you have cancer and you've had
Yes.
it for, was it going on, how long has it been?
Well, I'll tell you a wee story. 9 years ago, when the boys first arrived with us, right? Now, they didn't come from a good environment. Yeah. So I was diagnosed prostate cancer. And I had to have 7.5 weeks of radiotherapy Monday to Friday. So rather than tell the boys what was happening, just in case they thought they was going to be moved again, we didn't want to scare them. So I told them that guy was not allowed to drive for 7.5 weeks, and I had to take him to his work every day because I was a taxi driver then, you see. So anyway, so that's prostate cancer. And when I had prostate cancer, I actually that took a tumor out of my bladder as well. So it's prostate cancer, bladder cancer. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed with bowel cancer. And last year, I had a tumor removed from my bowel. And then not long after that, I was diagnosed with liver cancer, which I have now. I have three tumors in one half of my liver. So I have to have half my liver removed. And just 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I've been told I've got something on my lung, a shadow on my lung. So it could be cancer again. So I'm just greedy. I don't do one cancer, I do five.
You want the smorgasbord. How do you
Yeah.
maintain, your the humor, and still, how do you still yet not only have energy for your boys who are on the spectrum, but for the group? Or does the group give you energy to help with your
Oh, the
own?
group. Oh, what? You know something, Jeff? I don't know where I'd be if it wasn't for the group. The group gives me energy. Yeah, definitely. The group has helped me fight this cancer. Even Sylvia said as well, she says, the group's helping you big time. Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting, right? So it's so symbiotic because you're helping people, and
They're helping me, yeah.
in turn it's helping, which is the way it should be. There was a little bit of a, I guess, some drama about 2 months ago because you found yourself in Facebook jail. And
Yes.
like it wasn't egregious what you did. It wasn't like criminal, but you
No.
posted something, it went against the rules because you were being cheeky, and then you were gone for a month and people were
Yeah.
missing on you. In our group, people were posting, when are you coming back? We were even sending updates in the group. How tough was that month?
Was very tough. I went a whole month without being on your page. And it was very difficult. I don't know, just put it this way, I won't be doing that again. Yeah,
Everything is
I have learned my lesson. I will not do that again.
sunshine and rainbows that you're posting from now on in. So let
I
me ask
missed you
you.
guys so much.
Well, now you're
Miss you,
back.
yeah.
Now you're back, and you
Yeah.
can't go anywhere. But people were so excited, right? We even did that little interview to put it into the group, so people knew you were
Yeah.
okay. So for the people who are listening that aren't in our free group, what would you tell them? What is the group like? What is the benefit of having a group of other FASD caregivers?
The good thing about having the group is that people can come on and they can ask for information, they can advise for advice, even if they just have a good old vent, yeah, or they can tell their stories. But the group, it's like 4,000 strong. It's like a 4,000 strong family. Yeah, there's no judgment. Yeah, we just get on with it. We read what other people are feeling and what they're going through. And the majority, in fact, the very much majority of the people everybody's reading what they've read before. It's all been there. Everybody's going through the same things. Then you've got someone who posts a chuckle every day.
Yeah, and it just helps you feel less alone, right?
Yes, very much so. Oh, very much so. Yeah.
And people can ask questions that, you know, because you, just like you were saying, is it safe to say in your area it's getting better, but FASD isn't really that known?
Exactly. I was a taxi driver for 40 years. And I would say since I had the boys, I've known about Feedlog for maybe 8 years. And I taxied many doctors and nurses. And I would bring it up. I would bring up Feedlog, and the majority of the nurses and doctors hadn't a clue what I was talking about. They had we're talking about doctors. I would take doctors to the airport, and I'd mention Feedlog, and they'd say, oh, don't know, nothing to do with me. Yeah? And I thought, really? Even my local doctor of surgery, I only called or sent me posters, Feedlog posters, and I went up to surgery and I handed them over. They didn't put them on the wall. I thought they'd put them on the wall in the waiting room. They didn't even do that. Yeah? Now, it's disappointing, really disappointing.
But having said that, I agree with you. But there are small strides that are happening.
But we have Jeff Noble putting the word out there. That's what we have. We have you doing this. You're putting the word out there. And you're doing a great job, by the way.
Thank you. I'm deflecting because you know you like to talk about other people, and I'm talking about you.
I do that. I always take off me.
Yeah, well, I'm taking it off me because this is literally your name is going to be on the title of the podcast episode. What would you say to people like, because you've obviously adversity, you're still going through it. What would you say to those caregivers who are having a tough time with their kids? Maybe like you, they may have some health issues. You know, they're in a dark spot. What would you tell them?
I would tell them that they're doing a great job. And they've got to remember that the home is the safe place for the child. Yeah? This is the safe place. This is where they go, where they're being loved and looked after. Just do what you're doing. Yeah? Just always look for advice. Always read up on it. Always get as much information as possible because you can never have enough information about the feed of alcohol.
Yeah, no, okay. Well said. This is a selfish question for me. So how did you become such a big Harry Potter fan? What is it about it?
I tell you what happened, right? I think it was Heathrow, Gatwick Airport in London, and we was on our way to Cuba. And Sylvia was getting a book out there in one of the shops. And she said to me, go get a book. And I said, no, I don't read. I'd never read. Yeah, I was never a reader. I said, I don't read. I'll go and get a book. She says, go get Harry Potter. I've loaned out The Goblet of Fire as book 4 to someone. Go and get The Goblet of Fire, and you can maybe read it in Cuba. Anyway, I read it twice, and I came back home, and I read 1, 2, and 3, and that was me hooked. Just a massive Harry Potter fan. I've got Harry Potter books. I've got audio in the car, in my car. I've got audio in Sylvia's car.
What is it that hooked you? What do you like about it?
I get lost. I get lost in the world of Harry Potter. Yeah. But when you read it, I mean, I could honestly, I couldn't tell you how many times I've read the books. When I reach the end of book 7, I go back to book 1 again. Yeah. Sylvia will be reading something. She'll say, oh, go and read this book. It's really good. And I say, Harry Potter, isn't it?
You're the best. Listen, man, with everything that you're going through, you're a huge part of our group and our community. We're blessed to have you. And so we need you to heal up. Because one day soon, this pandemic is going to be over and we're going to have to meet face to face.
I need to come across the pond. That's what I need to do.
Either I'm coming there or you're coming here. But it is long overdue. And just thanks so much for doing this. I just appreciate so people can hear more about your story and that with everything that's going on, you know, you could still use humor. And no matter how low you think you are, like you could still climb out of it, right?
Yeah. Can I send my thanks to everybody for sending me wishes and sending me lots of love and care and asking for me? And that certainly helps as well. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Well, it's symbiotic, man. We love you and we need you just as much as you need us. So keep up the good fight, buddy.
So last April, with the help of O'Shea's Brain Domains, the FASD Hub Scotland, and FASD Fife, I was able to go to Scotland and I was able to meet Alex. And it was awesome to meet him. It was great to spend time with him. It was like you getting into a car with a friend that you've seen every year for the past 40 years. It was nothing short of magical. And he was just as sweet and just as kind and just as mischievous and got on Sylvia's nerves just as much as I expected he would. It was cute, you could tell. They really loved each other. And the eye rolls were awesome. Last year going to Scotland was amazing because I got to see folks who are in our online coaching programs as well and spend a full day and do some training and everyone was together and we had dinner. It was awesome. And then the next day, I was on my way to Edinburgh to link up with the FASD Hub Scotland. And when I was driving, I was just having such a good time. I was laughing, just laughing at him, with him. And I thought, you know what I should do is the people need to see this because Alex is very well loved, as we know, in the group. And I thought, I'll just see if I could do a Facebook Live here and just do a quick interview with Alex now that we were together, just to get some of his thoughts. So here's a little bonus for you. Some of you may have seen this already in my group. This is just last year after 5 years of not seeing each other or ever meeting, 5 years of him being in our group.
Hey, everybody, Jeff here. I am driving in the car on my way to Edinburgh, and I know that he's not only an excellent driver, but you will know him as the dropper of memes, the master of moderation, right? Alex Duthy. Say what's up, my friend.
Hi, guys.
And he has to pay attention because he's driving, but we also, we want to get his thoughts. I know a lot of you like to hear from him and talk to him and see him. And so just, well, I have to ask the question first, Alex. How is your.
Driving on the proper side of the road.
Yeah, we talk about the brain often. And so the first 5 hours, I had to trick my fight or flight because I always felt like we were going to have a head-on collision. But I digress. Alex, how's been? It's the first time we met 5 years, right?
Yes.
5 years?
Yes.
Alex has been the first moderator ever in our group. He's still here, and you know him and love him. We did a talk, like a workshop yesterday in AIR. And
Yeah.
so what did you think? We got to see other members,
Yes.
other people in the like, what did you think of yesterday?
It was an amazing day. We had a great time. Yep. And it was good to meet people that I speak on Facebook, and it's the first time I've met them. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I did a lot of hugging yesterday.
Yeah, a lot of hugging. And of course, he is stealing the show in terms of everybody was. Yeah, they were coming up to you. They were coming up to you, Alex.
Nuts.
Yeah, he did a great job.
All about Jeff.
But it was awesome getting all the different organizations together. That
Yeah.
was pretty cool.
That was
We
good.
had individuals on the spectrum like Paula, Maggie May. We even had
Mary Ellen.
Scott from
Yeah.
Ireland come
Mary
down.
Ellen.
Oh yeah, Mary Ellen, Barbara, anywho, it was a fantastic day, and it's just underlines the importance of being with those who get it. This journey could feel really isolating and alone, but when people get together, you realize just how many individuals and families are dealing with it, because you are not in the minority. You are the majority. It is the largest cause of developmental disabilities on the planet for a reason. So just keep kicking butt, right, Alex? How do you feel about our Facebook group overall? Because people come to you, and you know what I heard yesterday is whenever I need my spirits lifted, I jump in the group to see what Alex posted. How does that make you feel?
That makes me feel good. If I can help someone forget their problems just for a minute, then I've done my job.
It's amazing because even though you've been battling your own health issues.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Do you find that, like, takes your mind off it to help other people?
Yeah.
But from what I get from your wife is that you're always kind of been like that.
Yeah. Always been like that.
Yeah. So you found hanging out with other caregivers filled your cup.
Yeah, that was good. I enjoyed that. Was good fun. And especially hanging out with Jeff Noble.
He's awesome. Thank you.
You can pay me later.
Yes. Thank you. That was funny, though. So he said something nice at the venue, at the event. And I just looked over and they were doing like a raffle. So there was a bunch of, there's like a cash box with all these coins, like pounds, right?
Yeah.
And so after he said that nice thing, I just was quiet and I just grabbed it and I opened it up and I said, oh, here you go. He's been very complimentary.
Yeah, that was funny.
You know, there's a reason why the group is as strong as it is, and it isn't because of me, I'll tell you that much. So not only to Alex, but the other moderators as well.
Yes.
And so I think this went well and hopefully I can go back to the UK. I've seemed to be traveling a lot more. So maybe we can come see you if you know somebody or let's make it happen. Let's make things happen because that's how we got here with Mary Ellen from O'Shea's Brain Domains. She's a parent too. And we just cut the red tape and we just got to work. And so there we are. And now I'm headed to talk to the FASD Hub Scotland. We're going to talk to their volunteers and their staff. And we're going to teach them some stuff. I guess we're going to do our best. So a quick little video. And just so you can see Alex, because, you know, there's a person behind the memes. And we're grateful that you're in our group. And we're grateful for Alex. And we'll see you guys soon. I'm sure we'll post more pictures.
Bye, guys.
But it's time to kick some butt. See you later. Say bye, Alex.
Bye.
Bye. Later.
Alex is the definition of a life well lived, a man who truly left the world a better place. While his absence leaves a massive hole in our group, has also left us a playbook on how to navigate life with grace, humor, and compassion. Here's a few lessons from Alex's playbook we can all live by. Laugh often and love more. You know, Alex really got it. Humor. It's our secret weapon, not just to get us through the tough spots, but to build those bridges back to joy. You know, when your kiddo or loved one is testing your every last nerve, think, like, what would Alex do? He'd grab a meme that cracks you up, dish out some ice cream, and watch how quickly a tense moment can turn into a laugh fest. It's all about finding those sparks of joy and love in the everyday craziness. Your kids are struggling just like you. Everyone's just trying to do their best. Community is everything. Alex was a rock star at showing us the unbeatable power of sticking together. You know, life is messy. It throws curveballs. And man, they come fast and hard. But sharing the journey, the ups, the downs, the loop-de-loops, the poops, the rages, the stages, and the wins, it knits us into this unbreakable web of support. So if you're feeling like you're shouting into the void and you are isolated, go to our group, facebook.com/group/FASD success. Reach out. Reach out to somebody. A call, a post. Trust me. It's like plugging in. It's like plugging into a powerhouse of collective heartbeats. Everybody's rooting for you. He also shared about facing challenges with courage and positivity. You know, he faced down death with a grin. His battles were Herculean, but did he let that snuff out his light? No way, man. He'd crack a joke, flash a smile. He would also share if he was scared and that he was thankful for the community and how it gave him strength and courage to go on. And he reminded me, like, the attitude is everything. We're the captains of our ships here. You know, we're the leaders of our families, and the families look up to you. Life's a wild ride, my dudes. It's beautiful and messy, and it's about tackling it head on. You got to find reasons to laugh when you want to cry and show our kids that strength means standing tall, even when we're a little scared, even if we're a little scared. You know, at the end of the day, man, Alex lessons, they're way more than just survival tips. They're like a little guidebook for life itself. It's all about laughing, like letting laughter be the soundtrack, building the communities. Like, it's like a family reunion that everyone actually wants to attend. And in community, we could tackle life's curveballs and smile and, heck, grin a lot at the crazy shit that happens. Honoring our buddy Alex means living out these lessons loud and proud. So crank up the brightness on those tough days, man. Lighten the load. Share stories. Belly laughs. You know, what you're going through isn't going to last forever. Fill your cup. In the spirit of Alex and the incredible warmth he brought to us, we're going to step into action, and our team has stepped into action, and we'd love for you to join us. Many of you reached out asking how you can help honor Alex's memory and support his family during this time. In response, we've set up a GoFundMe page, right? So www.gofund.me/F/AlexDuthie. And you can contribute. Every little bit helps, and it goes directly to supporting Sylvia and the crew and his family and his kiddos. Again, it's gofund.me/F/AlexDuthie, or you can just go to gofundme.com. GoFundMe, just get there, and you can just enter Alex Duthie, and you'll see his picture. Yeah, so you can do that, because I know this is what we like to do for someone who's done so much for us. But that's not all, dudes. We are also organizing a virtual celebration for the life of Alex. It's a chance for us in the community. We're going to come together, share stories, and celebrate the joy Alex brought into our lives. So this will be happening on Sunday, March 17th at 2 p.m. Eastern. That would be 9:25 Aberdeen, like Scotland time zone. So make sure to check your time zone, and we'll have people register for this. So you can, if you're in our free group, facebook.com/group/FASD forever, or you are getting this in an email from us if you get our newsletter, or if you want to, you don't get either, but you want to make sure that you are involved, you could write us at help@FASDsuccess. help@FASDsuccess.com, and we will make sure that we get you registered so we can all get together, because this was a community event and we have to grieve as a community, and part of that is coming together as a community. And I think it'll be really good for a lot of you, me included. Saying goodbye to Alex, well, it hits different. This man was a cornerstone, not just in our community, but my life. His quick wit was like a lighthouse, guiding us through those foggy days. Always ready with a joke or a kind word, especially when life threw curveballs my way, like losing my sister, my buddy, and my faithful dog all in one brutal season last year. Those moments when I found myself wondering which way to turn, Alex was there with a laugh, a meme, or a sage bit of advice, often reminding me to take the scenic route because, in his words, why rush to a red light, chum? He had this unique way of making the complex feel simple and my burdens a little lighter. Well, let me put it to you this way. When Alex loved, he loved big. And when you love big, yeah, the loss feels immense. But in that vast space he's left behind, there's this incredible sense of warmth. It's like he's handed us each a torch. He trusts in the good of people, his knack for finding a silver lining on the shittiest of days. You know, Alex was an awesome person in a world that often feels a bit dim. I'm a man. He wore his heart on his, not just on his sleeve, but as a banner for all of us to rally behind. Like, his optimism, it wasn't like a light. It was a frickin' bonfire, you know, warming us all with its glow. And so, as we say farewell to a man whose life was a masterclass in making each day count, so let's promise. I'm going to promise to carry forward that laughter and that unwavering belief in the good, and most importantly, the courage to show up for each other, just as Alex did for us. It's true, you know, when you love big, you lose big, but how lucky we were to have something that makes saying goodbye so hard. So thank you, Alex. You know, thank you for not just restoring my faith in humanity, but for amplifying it, you know? For showing us what a life well-lived truly looks like. Your legacy isn't just what you did, my dude, but it's how you loved and made us laugh. And that I will be forever grateful, and it's the blueprint I'm going to use moving forward on a life well-lived. Thank you. We'll see you soon. Bye, friend.